Hey, Anna!
The podcast's history.
Oh my gosh.
Cutting Edge Radio.
I was going to say, I kind of got lost.
You're all scot-free. On that. Or my sister can get it.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not worried because I try to avoid public as much as I can.
What I understand, based on my knowledge of history, is that the president usually gets 4 years.
How are we doing it here?
Oh my gosh.
Georgia, it's a real place.
Some of the people who live down the town, where I actually talked to one of the women at the boarding house, who were at the boarding house.
Oh my gosh.
Some of that. That will make you go blind. You're so hard passionate.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. Yeah.
And the Johnny Depp one is, yeah, like, visually it's stunning, but there's nothing, it doesn't bring anything that brings it even close to the original. You know, like, it's weird and it's kooky. And I think they like, touch on things that the original one did, but it just felt... It just felt like, all right, let's take this classic and just shine it up. And there's no, like, heart and soul to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's all Tim Burton's, you know, smoke and mirrors.
Yeah. It's kind of like a little bit like Alice in Wonderland, the Tim Burton ones. Like, they were really good.
Yeah.
But you're still missing that, like, the heart and soul that you love the original for.
Yeah. He almost, like, tries to get too weird.
Yeah, and that was kind of at the time when Johnny Depp was doing like 5 Tim Burton movies a year, and people were getting a little burned out. Because remember, he was always doing, I mean, he did Pirates of the Caribbean. I know it's not Tim Burton, but he did Pirates, and then he did Lone Ranger, and then Alice in Wonderland, and then he did
The Lone Ranger,
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. He was doing these, like, you know, the wacky costume movies like every year. And I think when that one came out, people were like getting a little burn out by it because it didn't do as well as they thought.
Yeah, I was a huge Depp fan. And then by that time, I was like, oh, yes, Willy Wonka and Johnny Depp.
Oh, Johnny Depp.
I can't do it anymore. I'm done. I've had enough. I mean, he's an amazing actor, but like...
Yeah.
It was just great. Too much by then.
I just watched... Lady and the Tramp, the live action. Did you guys see that?
No.
No.
How the hell does that work?
It's like all, I don't know. Digital,
like Lion King, basically.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing. It's I don't know. I feel like the Lion King worked amazingly, but Lady and the Tramp, it just looks like weird with the dogs talking. It looks like something from the 90s. Like it's visually nice, the setting and the special effects. But overall, you're just watching talking dogs at the end of the day. I don't know.
It's a computer.
It was bizarre.
Like, moving their lips and everything. It's not like talking dogs in the 80s where they just gave them peanut butter, so they just like...
Or Mr. Red.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Or like just like a dog food commercial where they just cartoon in the mouth like moving a little. It's like, that's the whole thing.
This guy.
We got the dog, we got the owner, and we ran out of money after that. So this is going to be a little low rent.
You're going to watch it. I think Lady and the Tramp was like the Disney Plus original that they came out with. Wasn't it? When they first came out with Disney Plus, that was like one of the movies that they launched on there.
I didn't know that there was a live action one. I mean, Aladdin and the Lion King were way better than I thought they were going to be. Well, Aladdin was so much better than I thought it was going to be.
Yes.
Like, Will Smith was great. I mean,
great.
That's what I heard. I haven't seen it, but I heard it was excellent.
He tried to fill unfillable shoes, and he almost filled them.
Yeah.
Like, he did it his own way. And let me tell you this. I think the music is better because of Will Smith, because he's a fucking musician.
Yeah, it does. It's
a good
the
point.
Songs are better.
Yeah, it's an up. It's a good point. It's like a good upgrade.
Yeah.
I still love the Plus. It's still fun for me. I don't watch it like every night, obviously, because you need something rated R once in a while. But like the Plus is always a good go-to.
Yeah, you need some little hardcore sex, some smoking, you know.
Yeah.
Just wait till September. September when they have a new show every month. and
really
most of them are Marvel spinoffs. You know, like there's Falcon and Winter Soldier, and then there's Scarlet, you know, Scarlet Witch show, and then the Loki show, and then the Mandalorian season 2 comes back. It's going to be great, a great fall on Disney Plus. A lot of new stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I'll have to look into that. Because yeah. my TV in my my room, if you can call it that, that's cable. The one I have in my bedroom is just straight up, you know, off the internet. So I have like Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime off that. So I'll have to maybe look into getting like a Disney Plus membership.
I'll give you my I'll add you as to my account. There's no need for Bob, a patriot of this country, to pay for Disney Plus.
Yeah, a true patriot. Yeah, that's exactly what I am.
I did give my account
to two friends.
One was my friend Bryce, and the other was Jen's cousin, because she's got all these like little kids. So I was like, yeah, you can use my login, and I'll log in and see what they've been watching, and then I'll comment weirdly when I see them. I'll be like, so Gargoyles, see, there's a lot of Gargoyles being watched. And it's like, oh, that's my husband, why? And then they realize it's my account. They're like, oh yeah. And I'm like, no, it's just I just happened to see it. So what did you think about Bedknobs and Broomsticks? I saw that was watched on Tuesday. And it's like, yeah, like just to like freak him out
that,
a little bit.
That is a great idea, Clark, because my brother and like there's other people that jump on my Netflix and Hulu.
I
want them to know that I'm judging their viewing habits.
Yeah. Yeah. Comment on be like
maybe they'll just go fucking get it themselves.
Yeah.
What were you gonna say, Bob?
I'm on my girlfriend's account with my
Netflix.
And I'm my own Amazon Prime account, but I used to pirate it off of John back in the day.
Yeah, it was funny. It was like comic book shows mixed with History Channel shows. That's all it was.
The perfect combination.
That Epstein documentary is excellent on Netflix.
Yeah.
You really see what a monster that guy was. Holy
what
shit.
Is it? The richest man or something?
No, it's yeah, I don't know. But it does have, like, if you looked at the title of it, you wouldn't think it was about Epstein.
It's new, right? It's like the new one?
Yeah, it just came out probably like a month or two ago.
Yeah, I watched that one.
Yeah,
I started watching it and I didn't finish, but I could tell like at the beginning, I was like, ooh, this is really good. You know, you can tell pretty early, like how a documentary is done. Cause sometimes I feel like they're like, let's just do a documentary on this guy. It's like, yes. It's like the first quarter of his career. Why are we like making a documentary about Ben Simmons already?
Yeah. This guy is a hard stop. So,
filthy
rich. Yeah. Yeah. He's got a hard stop in prison. So
yeah, I watched the Epstein documentary and I get it. Like he was murdered, whatever. It's fine.
It was the Illuminati and the Clintons.
Right. But even if you're going to like whack somebody in jail, the inconsistencies with the camera turned off and the guards not logging in was so sloppy.
Yeah.
Dude, like, at least make him look like he killed himself and that's it. But it's like, no, all the stuff's missing.
Yeah, no.
There was a riot going on at the same time. The cameras were broken. The guards were sick. The one guy was, you know, having a bad night. His girlfriend just dumped him. It's like a kid going to the nurse at school. My throat is sore. I have a headache and I have a stomachache. That never
happened. I got a bee sting and my arm's broken. Which arm? The arm one?
With the foot
Excuse.
On it.
Yeah, or some felon getting shot and showing up to the hospital. You know, I think it's like a Simpsons thing where, I don't know, Skid or whatever the hell, Snake is, I think, the felon on Simpsons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like, he's in the emergency room. He's like, I fell on this bullet and it drove itself through my gut.
It's like that. It's like the movie Analyze This when they're like, Oh, he killed himself. What is he going to say? Is he going to, did he leave a note? No, but they will. What's it going to say? Oh, life sucks. I hate it. Goodbye. Sign the dead guy. That's pretty good. Let's use that.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Sign the dead guy. You're listening to the History Hour with Clark the Shark, Comic John, and Mr. Bob, our good friend. There's a lot to get into. It's day, nobody knows, of the quarantine still going on. And 26 years ago today, John gave us all the refresher we needed. I thought it was your dad that posted it because I was driving and reading Facebook at the same time, which is safe. And I saw the 26th anniversary of the Bronco chase.
I mean,
wow.
What a day.
Insane. Just weird. And yeah, like if you guys have seen the ESPN documentary on it, the 30 for 30.
Yeah.
Jay Simpson. Holy crap.
It's like a five-part documentary.
Yeah, and it's one of the best things I've ever watched. Really, like hands down, like out of anything. They did a really great job with that. And how they actually walk you through what really happened with the murder. The one prosecutor walks you right through it and how he kills Goldman and goes back to Nicole after she's already dead and stabs her again. And yeah, but no, well, I'm sorry, he didn't do it. But yeah, that's why he ran away.
Of course not, Bob. He was proven not guilty by a jury of his
peers. Robert Kardashian didn't throw out the clothes he was wearing that night, and now his kids are ruining
society.
Yeah, my parents actually got me out of bed for that when it came
up. What's up, Twitter world?
Because it was probably like around 9 o'clock East Coast time when he was doing that. When they had like you know the 55-mile-an-hour police chase, and my parents got me out of bed to my brothers and I.
Oh, you remember it?
Yeah, I remember my dad coming up and getting me.
Yeah, it was like 9 o'clock, I guess.
Yeah, on the East Coast, yeah. Because the only time we did that was when we had the first Gulf War. So they got had to show that too.
Yeah. I remember the signs.
I was at a boy girl party. I had one of my first boy girl parties at Chad Munn's house, actually.
Oh.
Oh, just the Munns. Holy shit.
And I remember my parents. My parents came down. We were in the basement, you know, humping and grinding in the dark.
Listening to your R. Kelly.
Oh.
Yeah.
R. Kelly.
I don't think R. Kelly was a thing then.
I don't think he was then, no. And then my parents were like, yo, John, you know, we're here to pick you up. So I came upstairs, and there's like 20 people in the Munn's like main room, and they're all gathered around the TV watching the freaking Bronco cruising down the street with cops basically just driving behind him.
Escort.
Not like cornering him, not like
no pit maneuver.
Like, yeah, just kind of like, OJ
and
it's the juice.
And then waking up the next morning on with CNN still on my television at like 5 a.m. and the helicopters flying over OJ's house and him finally, I guess, you know, turning himself in.
Gave up.
It's insane.
It's just funny.
People had signs too, which is bizarre.
I posted that picture of.
That's a great picture too.
Yeah, it is.
It's like the classic one.
Yeah.
And my mother-in-law commented on it, and just think, without the police, where would he be today? He'd be free. And I replied back, he is free.
I saw that. He is free. I didn't understand that at first, but I guess she just thought he was like in jail.
Yeah, I don't know where the disconnect was, but I just thought it was too funny not to talk about.
I thought he was still in jail for the crap he did in Vegas, you know?
Right, or that, yeah.
You hope, yeah. Like, he's been in jail since 94.
He'd be free. It's like, well, not guilty. That was the determination of this.
He's got a Twitter account, too. I don't know if they allow that in prison.
There were more. What's that?
He wears a mask, OJ.
Yeah, juice is loose. There were more pizza deliveries being made during that than any other time in history because people were afraid to get up from the TV. So they were ordering. Yeah, like Domino's reported like their largest, you know, sales ever from delivery because people didn't want to get up and make dinner if you were like West Coast time. Yeah, 6 o'clock. Yeah. You just want to watch this.
I think they cut in to the.
The NBA final.
I thought we were live. I thought we were live on some app, but it's not us. They
broke on Fox like News now.
Game 5 or Game 7 of the Knicks Rockets NBA Finals. They were like OJ is being chased because he chopped his ex-wife's head off, and
basically,
he's being chased by cops. And we were like, oh wow, what does this mean though? I know is that it's the guy from Naked Gun.
yeah, that's all I know.
Wait, you remember watching the finals when they did that?
Yeah. I was like, that's cool.
Yeah, I did another documentary, too, about that day about how it was so, because that was the last day of, I think, like the Players Championship in the PGA or something. Arnold Palmer won it. And then
he
had like the party for the New York Islanders who won the Stanley Cup. And then they had the NBA Finals on that night that they cut into. So it was like a huge day in sports. And you have like the huge sport figure who, you know, just tried to saw his wife's head off. He's being down the street at 55
or by a bunch of elevators. For the ratings.
It was the Rangers Stanley Cup parade.
That's right. The Rangers. Yeah.
And like the parade, Rudy or some New York, famous political person was like, and the Knicks are going to win tomorrow.
Might have been Ed Koch. I don't know.
By the way, OJ cut off his wife's head.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. When that happened, too, it's obvious that if it wasn't OJ Simpson, that would have ended in, 20 minutes with a pit maneuver or a shootout or something. Yeah. But what was amazing to me was on TV, you could see people with the signs. Like, they had the time to find stationery to write signs, and they wrote, like, the juice is loose on the side of the road, because I guess he was going so slow that ahead of time people
were able to produce signs. It's like on whatever the hell that main highway is there, Clark, you know it way better than I do.
Yeah.
Like the 405 or something. I don't know.
Yeah. But just imagine it being 95, here in Florida, Bob. Like, 11 exits in a row. Like, where he's headed. And if you're like, I'm at, Oakland Park Boulevard, but he's at, Glades Road, you're like, I got like 20 minutes. I'm going to make a sign for the juice.
By the way, tonight's show is called Glades Road.
Yeah.
Is that a real place? Road.
Yeah, man.
Do you guys remember Pogs?
Yep.
Yeah.
I remember the Pog.
The Slammer.
It was 32, and it was like 32, and like it was, the Slammer, and like, oh, you don't want to play for keeps. But anyway, they had like the Juices Loose Pogs, because that was all, around that same time.
I should have baseball cards. They're not fun to just sit there and have. But
I should have answered it. I should have answered that differently. Like, yes, I remember Pogs, but I didn't have them. I don't know what they were. I just know that they were little circles, right? Like cards, but
yeah. And then you have like a metal slammer that you try to hit them. Like, you put, okay, like, John, we're gonna play for 5 Pogs this time.
Do you have to talk that way when you play?
And we're playing for keeps, baby.
Did you play Pogs? Because I don't know anyone that actually like played it. I know I tried and I was like, I'd rather just play Nintendo.
I went through about a 6-month segment there that
did you?
I would like to really cancel out of my life.
You got to bring it back. That's what you should do.
Kind of like, if I was wearing, I'd rather have been wearing short shorts and just rollerblading at that point. would have been better.
You should test your relationship strength and start introducing Pogs again and play it off like, no, I'm really into these. What do you have?
Yeah.
And like start seeing if she gets into it, and then be like, "Nah, that's probably not a good idea." But that's the test of a relationship, right? If they'll go along with Pogs.
My understanding was you would stack them. Say I stack 6, and I take the slammer and I throw the slammer on it, and however many flip over, I get those points.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not that bad.
It's a complicated game.
It's like there's so much going around something so simple.
Yeah. I even had like a big like 4-foot tube. And I brought it to school and everything. And I was like in fourth grade. Yeah, it was a disaster. They should have just shot me in the parking lot when they saw me walking in.
The slammers too got very intricate. I remember seeing one. It was like a crystal with like a diamond in the middle. Like they got really like high tech for a while.
Yeah, no, they were good. I had a few.
They were cool.
I had an $8 slammer, which was very high.
Wow.
Yeah, I had to beg.
What was it?
It was like a. It's probably about like an inch and a half big, and it was brass. And it was big and heavy, and it's supposed to be able to flip it every time. And
sounds like my
dick. It was a.
Especially the brass part. Rip-off.
Exactly.
A total ripoff.
But yeah, that's an expensive slammer, like $8 in like 1992,
93. Oh,
That's like a high-tech slammer right there.
Yeah. Yeah, my parents used it at, they took it away from me when I misbehaved too, so.
Oh, no.
It was like the toy.
Others.
Did you ever like emphasize other toys when you were a kid? So if your parents took it away, you would have like the backup that was better. It's like, yeah, I really like this world-class track meet Nintendo game. Can't wait to play it all night. Matthew's misbehaving. Let's take it away. Okay.
So you would pose and be like, Robin is my favorite superhero. I hate Batman. He's boring.
Man, I really can't wait to play with this Jake the Snake wrestling buddy. Just do whatever you want with Macho King. I don't care. Take it away. Okay. I'm learning.
I've never done that. That's genius.
I tried to do that, but my parents saw right through it because I'm a terrible actor. So
I never did that either. I just wish I thought of that as a child.
I would have fooled them.
I did keep emergency toys, though, in the bedroom skulls. If I ever got in trouble. I'd keep something cool under the bed just to have, like, books or comic books or something. Just something. There was always, like, something secret. It was like paranoid people with guns. I always have, like, something in every room in case something happened. So ADHD wouldn't kill me.
I had a ferret that guarded my room. So, and he would bite everybody but me.
A ferret?
Yeah.
He was cool. Yeah. It was like a mouse stretched out, like a slinky dog almost.
Yeah, I taught him how to take a shit in a litter box. Yeah.
Yeah, he was like Jim Varney at Toy Story.
Curl up into a ball.
Exactly. Yeah.
Those are sweet. They're good pets.
Yeah, I would like lay my bed sheet over the side of my bed and he'd be able to climb up and get into my top bunk on my bunk bed and sleep with me. And then he would take a dump on the top bunk of my bunk bed. Yeah.
And it would smell lovely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was great.
I want to bring up a NASCAR question for Bob. There was a guy I saw tweeted out about – his name's
something – Percelli or whatever?
Yeah, Ciccarelli or Chirelli. Yeah. Ciccarelli.
Yeah.
I don't know how accurate it is, though, because the guy doesn't have a verified – listeners, it's a NASCAR driver, but it was like one of the – it wasn't like
He's
a NASCAR.
He's in the truck series. He's in the
truck series.
Yeah.
And he – I think – John and I and you have more followers than him, and it wasn't a verified. So I didn't know if it was like a real guy, but I Googled him, and apparently it is. This guy quit NASCAR because they won't let the Confederate flag fly. Is that true?
That is true. He didn't quit NASCAR. He still has basically this guy did like a little back. I did some research on him, and he's from a very wealthy family, and he's probably like in his mid late 40s. He's a backmarker when it comes to the racing deal. He's not out there contending or anything, because the funny thing is when NASCAR released their plan to not allow the Confederate flag to fly, you know, at their events and on their properties, he, you know, said, well, you know, after this season, you know, I'll be terminating, you know, my relationship with the NASCAR racing community, officially. And NASCAR actually texted him back. I don't know who the hell is in their media department, but they said, yes, sir, we're sorry to lose you. We actually had to Google you to see exactly who the hell you were.
Yeah. Is that real? Because I saw that.
Yes, that is real.
That's so true to form in NASCAR. Because
some intern just got hired.
It's like they let each other shit talk like hockey lets them fight.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes they just like let it go. They're like, yeah, it's NASCAR. It's energy. It's, you know, you're driving 200 and whatever miles an hour for so long. It's the second hardest thing to do in sports.
Who's going to get out of the car happy?
I saw on Instagram the screenshot of NASCAR saying that. That's how I, like, found out about this. And I was like, this can't be real.
It's fantastic. It was real.
You look around, you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I think someone said, like, I never thought – I don't know, but they were like, all of a sudden now NASCAR is my favorite sport. You know, like the last thing I expected from coronavirus and riots
was NASCAR
to become a NASCAR fan.
Yeah, and exactly.
It's because how they dunked on that guy who quit.
Well, and they've been doing a good job. So it's been good. I mean, and they're kind of the only show in town right now. You don't have football, obviously, it's not football season anyway, but you don't have baseball, and that looks like it's falling apart at the seams. That's not going very well. Hockey, maybe baseball. Coming back, I don't know. NBA is up in the air still. You know,
it NBA is
that
like,
looks like they're having problems.
No, they're like, the NBA is just, they're geniuses. This new commissioner that's been in there for a few years now, he's so good.
This guy replaced Stern?
they're going to fill up Disney World and have the NBA run there from August to October.
Okay.
It's amazing.
Yeah. What a great idea. And then you have it all at one place. You don't have to worry about everybody moving around. Just keep everybody there. And
they can test everyone who comes in, and no one else comes in. It's like the NBA players and their families. And that's it. And that's
you're
awesome.
At Disney World. You're in Florida.
Like, right.
Like, it's a win-win.
It's Florida in August. Real. It's awesome there in August.
There's no humidity.
Yeah, there's always a constant breeze in Orlando.
I just want to put my head in this alligator's mouth.
But NASCAR has done a pretty good job in terms of being one of the first, if you want to call it a sport. I don't think it's a sport. It's racing. That's different. It's like golf. Golf really isn't a sport. It's golf. Racing is racing. These guys have to be athletes to be in shape to be in the cars when it gets to 140 degrees inside the greenhouse, you know, for 4 hours. But they've done a really good job, and they actually had fans at the last race. You know, they have an 80,000 person grandstand at Homestead, Miami, and they had like 2,000 people in there, but they had fans.
Hey,
you know, so
and it was on TV.
They're working it out. Yeah, and they're doing a very good job with the teams coming in. They're minimizing. You know, basically, you just get in there one day. There's no practice. There's no qualifying. We line the cars up. We go racing. We go home, and that's it. And that's how it should
pretty
be.
Sweet.
It's actually
simple.
That's
fun.
It's made the racing better. Because you unload and you don't know what you got.
In like sports and business and even like entertainment, the coolest thing about this whole past 6 months has been watching how creative people have been to keep going and keep, you know, providing us with shit to distract ourselves.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It really, I feel like people really rose to the occasion.
Yeah, dude, a lot.
You
as
know,
many
creatively
as many who failed.
Look at John Straczynski. Okay. Did that show. It was started off as like
Jim.
Something like you and I would do, like on Skype, on Zoom. Sold to I think it was ABC. It was
CBS.
Some good news. CBS. I mean, just examples like that. It's incredible.
And dude, I got to tell you, I was like,
I was at the
point where I was like, all right, Krasinski's got one more episode of this in him before he cracks, because he just was like, I could just tell him. He was like, I'm not a Tonight Show host. Like, I'm an actor. I can't like do the host thing. He was like straining towards the end of it, and he fucking cashed in, and good for him.
Amazing.
Jim.
It's inspiring. Really.
Jim. Yeah.
Been who's now like a director and.
Oh yeah, he directed that movie that did actually pretty well.
Oh my! Did you? Watch
I haven't seen it. No,
he's up there with. Fuck. He's similar to me, like Chris Pratt. Started off as like a goofy guy in a sitcom, and turned into a leading man who's kicking like an action hero, like Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds was like the good-looking, funny boyfriend kind of guy that was like a little goofy, turned into a leading man.
It's like a brand.
What's that?
It's a brand.
It's a brand. He's got a brand.
I hate that term.
I know, don't you hate that? One? Like, it's not part
what's
of his
your
brand.
Brand? I'm not tied.
Yeah, I'm not Pepsi. I'm a human being.
I'm a person.
That's what we should start doing, is like saying that to our wives. See how far that gets us. Like, hey, or girlfriends, what do you want for dinner tonight? I'm thinking about making teriyaki. You know, it doesn't really go well with my brand.
That's off brand.
Yeah, I know my girlfriend will just kick me square in the nuts if I say that. So, yeah,
Bob, your girlfriend's a Southern lass, Southern Belle.
She is. A Southern
she
lass.
Was born and bred in the South.
Yes. Oh, her family goes way back in that part of North Carolina, like to the 1700s.
Is she a debutante?
When I debutante.
Is she an antebellum?
Yes.
Heiress?
We have a debutante.
Do they have help?
I want to go a little bit farther there, and you know, in the current situation here, I don't want to, you know.
Does she refer to the Civil War as the war?
Making fun of white people. Making fun of white people. Just to be clear.
Yeah.
Just be clear.
White people.
No, but don't get offended. Don't cancel us. Does your girlfriend refer to the Civil War as the War of Northern Aggression?
Yes, and she calls me a horrible, bloodthirsty Yankee.
Because my cousin Janie, who. They moved. They're from Philly, but they moved to Georgia, and her husband's like, you know, South Carolina, like, you know, 20th generation or 8th generation, whatever. And she said that when she met his grandparents, they were they're true Southerners. Like, the roots are planted. And she was mentioned the Civil War because they went to like a battlefield. And her grandfather was like, oh, no, we don't call it the Civil War. That's the War of Northern Aggression. And she was like, okay, all right, let's move on.
Yeah, because we were so horrible in the North trying to keep the country together and end the institution of slavery.
Yes, we were so aggressive with freeing of humans. Yeah. Aggressive.
What horrible people we were. But no, she, yeah, and she's from there. And like, actually, it was pretty cool. Like, I really enjoy
that.
Like,
is cool.
Obviously, I enjoy that history and really love the Confederate history. I enjoy more just because that's a story that's not told, you know, as much as the Northern side is told. So it's always informative to you know, see that other side. And they actually, one of her mother's great great grandfather or something was in the cavalry under Jeb Stuart, and she still had this cavalry book that he carried throughout the entire war.
That should be in a museum, man. It belongs in a museum.
I'm surprised she let me touch it.
Or in a dumpster behind the museum.
I'll send you guys some pictures of it. I saw pictures of it, but
you got to like physically.
She handed it to me, and I'm like, "Can I open this?" And she's like, "Yeah,
dude, that's a treasure."
Yeah, yeah,
that's incredible.
Cool.
I agree. I think the Confederate history.
What it is? It's
a piece of history.
There's no battle flags in it or anything. It's just the Confederate Cavalry Handbook printed in Richmond and distributed out among the army, you know. Wow. Now, you know, the flag, that didn't fly till 1864 in the battles anyway. It was never in the Battle of Gettysburg.
It's like their
Georgia flag was the Georgia flag right now, the state flag, is what we used in battle.
Yeah. Oh, in battle.
The bars and stars wasn't the Confederate Army flag. Participation trophy.
The participation ribbon.
Yeah, and you know, all this talk about, you know, I can't fly my if you want to fly your flag, that's fine, but it shows what an idiot you are.
That's the biggest thing I think people need to take away. It's not like, hey, we're repressing your right to fly your country. It's the losing side, and it wasn't even their official flag. Like,
are we gonna start naming military bases after Bin Laden operatives? You know,
what's that?
Are we gonna start naming military bases after Osama Bin Laden, after Al Qaeda operatives?
Right. Yeah.
You know? That's essentially what we did after the Civil War. That's the names of the bases in the South. You know, insurrection against the United States of America. Let's understand that, people.
Bin Laden.
Yeah.
Camp.
Yeah.
Right. Mao Tse Tung Resort.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a great place.
How about we don't name stuff after people that we are killing?
Not just that.
That sounds weird.
Led an insurrection against our country, and they were on the losing side because we kicked their fucking ass.
Right.
Yeah, that's I think you're also parading around a symbol of the loser. Like, what's the point?
It's like the sympathy card in a way. It's like, well, I still support the losers.
Right.
It's like, but they were fucked up. Do you think it's like a geological thing? Like, why the South? Like, how did it like divide that way? Is it because if you lived in the North, you were like tougher and therefore smarter? And down South, you were lazy and dumb because it was warm? Like, why did that happen that way?
Well,
and it's like wearing the shirt. I'm sorry. It's like wearing the hat. You know how in the Super Bowl, both teams have the hat printed that's like Super Bowl 53 champions. It's like wearing the hat of the team that lost. It's like, what's the point? It's not valid anymore.
Well, I can tell you what the point is with the South. And it was, and this whole narrative was written for the South after the war. Like they always like that. They love to fly the stars and bars because it's become, they call it heritage. Well, I can tell you it's not heritage pre-Civil War. You know, flag that was breaking in 1864, it's not antebellum. It's post-Civil War, the Klan used the flag, and then it became, and you had a lot of Southern authors who wrote about the war. And that's why we have statues to Robert E. Lee. That's why we have statues to Longstreet and other Civil War, you know, Jubal Early, Jeb Stuart, and other things on, especially in Richmond, and that avenue of statues, which is really the avenue of losers.
That's awesome.
Here's everyone who's never won the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Let's give them statues. Yeah.
Right. And Bob Backlund is coming out.
They were slave owners, too, you know, just like a lot of our founding fathers. So, you know, it's it it's a tough ship to navigate, but not with the Confederacy. No, it's not. It was an insurrection against the United States. Take the fucking statues down because they were put up anyway to put it in the finger of the eye of the blacks that lived in that area. So there's no historical. The only place the Confederate flag should fly, in my eyes, is on the battlefield to show where certain positions were, and for historical purposes.
Right. That makes sense.
At a NASCAR race, it's not a part of your heritage. It's become a part of your heritage because a part of your heritage is based on hate.
Right. You want it to be part of your heritage.
And I'm about to lose a lot of friends.
No way, dude. Those are friends worth losing.
Right.
That's awesome, man. You just blew my mind with what you said. I'm going to need a contractor because it's based off of – the heritage is based off hate. It's not – it's also bastardized too. Let's take the whole racism thing out. Let's just say that that's not a thing in the slavery. And just the flag itself, a battle flag at a certain point of the war for the losing side is such a trivial thing to celebrate. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
I know, man. I know. It's dumb. It's like a stupid cloth and a pattern on it of shapes and colors. It's like, grow the fuck up. Yeah, do you have no children?
Hey, this swastika looks cool too, guys.
What's that?
Fly that flag, huh?
It's like, sorry that the bad guys came up with a kind of cool looking star. Flag. It is a pretty sweet.
It is. It's a cool looking flag.
I can admit, as an artist, I kind of dig it. But
yeah, of course.
What it represents makes it absolutely horrible.
Right. So get it out of my face. Keep it in your history books, and you know, don't pretend it didn't happen. But get it out of my sight. You know, we wiped you off our map. I say we like I was a soldier.
And John Hassinger fought in the Civil War in the 152nd Cavalry Division of Pennsylvanians. Very decorated soldier. So
to celebrate,
I'd be dead or I'd come back with a gun full of bullets.
you can appreciate like what it looks like from an artist, but. It's like John said, don't put it in my face.
Yeah, and here's the deal with NASCAR. Is NASCAR maybe overstepping their bounds a little bit at telling us what we can fly and not fly on the property? Maybe a little bit, but it's their property. It's private property.
Really, right. They do that in my neighborhood. I can't have an Eagles flag in my driveway.
It's like your homeowners association. Yep. You know, they can do what they want. You can still try to fly it, though. It's fine. But really, like, if you don't – this is like – I'm going back to NASCAR. I'm there for the racing. I could give a shit what kind of flag you're flying.
I know. It's like, what is this, a fashion show?
I would prefer the American flag. But, like, I'm there to watch guys beat the hell out of each other for 200 laps and then, you know, come to the finish line and, you know, there's nothing left.
Like, what is this, a show and tell? It's like a Comic-Con, farce. It's like a pretend.
So if you're
like,
that just
show our stuff.
If you are that concerned about flying what flag you want to fly, then you're not a race fan to begin with, and I don't have any time.
No, you're asking for trouble. It's like a guy that wears a Giants jersey to an Eagles game in Philadelphia. It's like, you know, you're not doing this. The Giants aren't going to see
you. You're committing suicide, basically.
Right. And with the flags and to John's point about the stars and bars being like good looking and stuff is one thing, but, you know, you wouldn't. The fact that people are so adamant about flying it is just ridiculous. Doesn't make sense. Like the Nazi uniforms were good looking. They were made by Hugo Boss. You're not going to wear them because they're stylish. Like, it's offensive.
Yeah.
So the fact that there's even an argument is crazy in 2020 about this.
Yeah. The bottom line is it's not heritage. It's not Southern heritage. Anybody that tells you it's Southern heritage, they mean after the war. There was nothing pre-war. They mean after the war, after they wanted to create a South that was different. Than was reality. It's
based
in hate.
Can't your heritage be from traditions that were things that were good that your ancestors did?
Yeah, like my grandmother made out one hell of a corn biscuit.
Biscuits and gravy. It's like grandma's kitchen.
We played horseshoes.
It's like the people that are like, speak American. It's like, you better speak proper English here. We talk English. It's like, well, then you start with yourself.
Yeah, they're screaming at you through their meth teeth.
Yeah, it's so bad.
This is America where we speak English, another country's language.
English, get out.
It's the most ironic fucking sentence ever.
If we
people
were
need
This is America. Speak English.
Be the Native Americans' language.
Exactly.
Not the Western European language that we exported.
To Tonka Owachi.
We should be answering the phone. How?
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 If we wanted to be old school and legit,
exactly.
American, if we that's how we'd answer the phone.
Yeah.
That's what we would do. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, sorry to be so forceful on that, but I think that.
No, it's true. Like Bob said, you're there to watch racing.
Yeah. I don't care about what flag you're flying. I mean,
cheers to NASCAR, too, for doing that.
Yeah.
There will be people that will still defiantly bring that flag and fly it, though, no doubt.
Well,
it'll be interesting
yeah,
to see
will.
How they enforce that.
They will, especially the campground I go to at Talladega. I mean, John's been there, and that's like the Wild West. There's like no enforcement of anything.
Yeah,
so.
and there's there's no aggression. There's no violence. It's all very like a Dave Matthews concert in a way where everyone's kind of just like this big snake moving together in no violence and it's kind of rowdy, like, but it never gets out of hand.
It's also
no
like
Southern agitation.
Wife swap, you could then, but you know, I don't think I'd want to wife swap a whole lot there.
Yeah, the pickets might be slim or the opposite of slim.
I'd be hard pressed to find a woman that didn't weigh more than me.
I used to make love outside in the mud in the rain. It's possible a man may have slipped in. Or it's no way of knowing.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I've no idea.
Who said that?
Yeah, what is that from? That's great.
Oh, God. It's not Will Ferrell.
I think he says back in the 60s, I would make love outside in the mud and the rain. And it's possible a man may have slipped in. There's no way of knowing.
Oh, gosh, that's so good. I'm trying to wrap my brain with that's around.
Robert California? From The Office?
You're close.
Fuck.
Reminds me of the T-Dome scandal.
Over California, though.
Yeah, he was a great manager.
Oh, my God.
So good.
Man stands in front of a bulldozer. Who has the power?
Almost every line, his delivery is just insane.
I just watched the episode where they're giving him the interview. I'm sorry, I'm getting off track. Like, John, you need to bookend that.
Jim, everything is sex. What episode?
You need when they're interviewing him for the position after Michael Scott leaves.
Yeah.
You have like the people come in like, didn't they have Jim Carrey come in and they had, you know, Will Ferrell?
Jim Carrey didn't like actually interview. He like missed it. Remember he like showed up late. He's like, yeah, I was on vacation with my family in Finger Lakes. And I told him I was going to get gas or something.
Because in real life, he probably missed it. So they just had to like put him
on. He was painting something.
He's painting angry.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a national treasure.
Oh, God,
He really is. I love The Office. I've been watching a lot of Office lately. You know that weird time late at night where you can't commit to like a new show or another movie? You're like, I'm just going to watch The Office because when I fade off, I've seen it before. The Ben Franklin impersonator one. I think I rewound that end scene like four times where he's like, who was the president of Germany? Wilhelm II. Who was the king of England? Well, the tyrant George III. John, we talked about that in the last show, and it's like, are you nearsighted or farsighted? Both, which is why I invented the bifocals. Oh!
I like when he...
It's just perfect.
When, like, the guy, like, hits on Pam, and she's like, didn't Ben Franklin have syphilis? And he's like, yes, but I don't. And she's like, oh. You're breaking character and hitting on me. That's so weak.
Oh, God. I love the one, too, where it's like they always do like almost like the Saturday Night Live, like cold opening, you know, too, with their shows where it's just like,
yeah,
it's like immediately they're in a situation. The one where they like, for whatever reason, Michael and Dwight are up on the roof and they got a trampoline and there's a watermelon and they drop it on the trampoline to bounce it and it hits Stanley's car. It's up.
Bingo! No, no, no!
No, 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 no!
Yeah, the watermelon.
I know a good civil rights attorney here in the Scranton area. I want you to call him, and he gives like the name and the phone number, and he's like, I need to take down the trampoline and clean this mess up.
The name's like Sidney Applebaum or, you know, something.
Sidney Applebaum.
Fake. So good. Is that the one where Michael does the fake suicide prevention?
Yeah.
And he's like, get the warehouse guys in here. And Dwight repeats the same thing. He's just like, isn't suicide just a way of not feeling well or something? No, he's really going to kill himself if he tries to jump.
Wait, you ignorant slut.
Janet, you ignorant slut.
Yes. I love when Carell does that. Like, he quotes, like, he quotes comedy from the last 50 years, but he sometimes will give it credit and sometimes he won't. He'll just look at the camera because it was like a miracle how he fits it in.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Oh my gosh.
I was dying.
That was such a great show.
Oh yeah. I was watching it the other night, the episode where
I think it might be the funniest show ever, or maybe
I think
that I like the most because,
it's not a bad episode
overall.
Seinfeld with the laugh track, it's dated. It's weird. It's
good point.
It's so weird with the laugh.
Yeah, the laugh track is weird.
It's
the episode of The Office where Phyllis gets flashed and Michael comes in and starts laughing, and it's like, but, and then he does the penis, the hand. I like rarely laugh out loud. I usually just laugh internally or to myself. I was like crying. I forgot all about that. I was watching it. I was like, the hand with the penis will always be great with Steve Carell doing that.
Dude.
It's so Clark, good.
I agree. There's like a handful of moments throughout the entire show's run that I will laugh out loud rewatching no matter what. And two of the parts are in that episode when Carell's doing the finger thing. And then later when Dwight keeps like mixing in like penis words instead of like the words that he's like, you will take phallus down, and she's like, phallus.
I got
he's
penis on the brain. I got penis in the brain, and then the look.
Mm. And if you watch the bloopers, it took them like forever to do
The bloopers are available. I haven't seen those.
Oh yeah, YouTube Office bloopers.
Oh my
bloopers.
God,
that's tonight.
You're going to get sucked into an awful wormhole there. That's going to kill like 3 or 4 hours of your time.
I welcome it. That's amazing.
Oh yeah, John,
you're so right. That episode, it's like probably my favorite one.
It is a great one. But I forget like what happens after the beginning.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that they do the sketch and it looks like Dwight.
I just saw the one where Jim and Pam like run out Dwight's like farmhouse, like one of the rooms in the farmhouse before they get married. And like as they're driving in, Dwight's brother is like running next to the car.
Moe's. Cousin Moe's.
Who's your favorite character? Let's just say, not barring Michael Scott, who's your favorite character on The Office?
Creed. I have to go with Creed.
Creed.
Dwight.
Yeah.
Because he, because he like, I don't know, like there's like, he's not a part of every sketch, but like when he hits moment, like he hits like Michael Scott one day comes out of his office and says like, oh, this is your captain speaking. We're flying at 35,000 feet. And he starts going on like a captain, and Creed's like looking out the window like he's in an airplane.
No, Creed, I totally agree with you.
Dude, Creed, they said writing Creed, because I listened to that Office Ladies podcast, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey.
Oh, did you listen to it?
I listen to it every week. They rewatch the show and they give you all this behind the scenes shit. And they're in like season 3 now, I think.
That's fantastic.
Creed gave one of the best lines in that episode with the flasher. They're like, if dropping your trout is exposing yourself, well, then lock me up. And they cut to it right away. There was no pause.
The guy who plays Creed, whose name is Creed Bratton, he said they told me writing for me is like writing for the Joker because nothing has to make sense. Mm-hmm. So it's the episode when Michael is like, we got to find this girl, this chair model, because he's supposed to be picking out chairs, but he gets distracted by the chair model because him and Jan just broke up. And Creed calls Pam and he's like, hey, what's going on? Did he make a decision yet? Because if Michael gets a new chair, then Pam gets Michael's old chair and Creed gets Pam's chair. And Creed's like, and then I have two chairs, one more to go.
He's just so good. He's so great. He's probably, he's probably my favorite character. He's one of those guys.
Oh, yeah.
He's under the radar for most of the seasons. But yeah, when he's never, every he's never scene a huge shot
plot point. He's never a huge plot point. He's just there for like the quick little hits.
He's amazing. Like punches. He comes in one day. Good.
He's got like, they're all like dressed up for Halloween. He's got like blood splattered all over him. And he's like, I had no idea it was a Halloween party. You know, just lucky break.
Lucky break.
Like, we never know. We never know what Creed, like, who he is. We don't know what he is.
Like, no, you'd think he's like an ex-Marine or something, but he's just so, like, ambiguous.
I love when he's like, this job is the only thing standing between me and a homeless man.
Which I've been.
Right, yeah. And I know from experience from the last time I was a homeless man.
Creed.
And every single time they flash the camera, and even when he's not in a scene, when they pan over his desk, he's always playing solitaire.
I know.
Like his computer always says solitaire. So like the guy doesn't work at all.
I was reading in the IMDb trivia for the office that they actually had a live internet network for all those computers. So when like the actors were in the background, they could actually like check emails
That's
and stuff.
True.
Really? Yeah, like they made it realistic enough to where it was like a functioning office.
They could even like talk to each other, because that'd be even better.
Yeah,
if you know, like you're like if Jim is up on like a scene or something, you know, type him something, you know.
Yeah, yeah, you can like throw him cues.
Yeah, I had sex with him last night. And something funny like that.
they would call each other, like when Jan was on the phone and Michael had her on speaker. She was in the conference room, in the office right next door.
Oh, really?
Just calling right in. Yeah.
Oh, that's
so weird. They did,
yeah. Jan was pretty hot.
Yeah.
Oh, she was so insane. So like just.
Yeah, and I love how
destroyed forever.
Yeah, I love how they casted her too. Like she was just like this totally like smoking hot, but like, you know. Doesn't have a good foundation,
right? Totally like insane, successful, like
lurching from one thing to another. But she's like, she's not dumb, but she just has no direction. She's no thoughts.
And then it gets like even crazier. Remember, he's like, well, she videotapes us during sex, and then immediately we watch so she can critique my methods,
or she can critique my form.
My form.
That sounds very unhealthy. No, it's just a woman thing. No, that's not.
Yeah, no. No, it's not. That's not
so
real.
Good.
Rashida Jones. Like, whew.
Smoking.
Yeah. Whew. What a face.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I like the episode Karen's with the Phyllis page. One. With the flasher. They're like, well, I mean, Steve Carell, Michael's like, has she even seen Karen from behind? And then what's the guy's name? Kevin is just like, probably not. As he's checking out her ass.
And Carell's so good because he's like, has he ever seen Karen from behind? You know, like he delayed on the from behind.
Yeah, yeah. From behind?
Karen from behind.
So good.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Phyllis used to be, I think she was an Oakland Raiders cheerleader back in the day.
That is true.
Really?
Yeah. My, how the mighty have fallen.
How the guidelines have tightened.
Hilarious.
Not to say, you know, hey, that's very sexist of me as well. So I'll call myself out right there. Send your emails to mattclark@gmail.com.
Yes, that's send them to mattclark@gmail.com.
Gmail.com. So,
you know what's funny? Matt Clark. Try creating a Gmail account. Literally every name is taken.
Oh, yeah.
You can make up, like, you know, Bill Sausage. Taken.
Some of the best advice I ever got was when Gmail came out, I think like in 2005, my buddy came to me and said, dude, get your Gmail account right now. Do
really?
It. That's why I have Robert.coons. You know how many crazy emails I get about, you know, my daughter's dying. I don't know what's going on here. I'm a professor from Austin, from Texas University. You know, I don't forward it.
Prince.
So.
Did you get that email address right away?
Yeah, I did.
That's brilliant.
2005. Oh, I wasn't brilliant. My buddy was.
Oh, that's smart that you did that, though. You got that.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Did Gmail. John just turn into stone? Or oh, no, you're there.
No.
You froze for us. You froze for like a minute.
Did you guys watch the Ghostbusters reunion that Josh Gad put together?
No.
I have not.
I haven't either.
I keep scrolling over it. I keep going, not yet.
Yeah, me too. You know what it is? There needs to be like one more character. God save Harold Ramis, rest his soul. But like, I feel like if Rick Moranis was in there, or Peter McNichols, is that the guy that played Janosch? I would have watched it, but I see Josh Gad, who has nothing to do with Ghostbusters, Jason Reitman, who's lucky to even be there, and then Ivan Reitman, the director, who's great. But there was like one more guy I think needed to see to like click through. But I was like, yeah, I'll watch this at some point.
Go ahead. I'm almost worried to click on it because I don't want to be disappointed.
Dude, right. I'm the same way because I'm like, look, they're on Zoom. This isn't going to be perfect. And it's, I can see up their nose. You know, like everybody has like the shitty like camera. And they're like, all right, can you see me?
Like, like your grandparents on FaceTime. Your parents. Your parents on FaceTime.
FaceTime. You don't want it to kill like the magic that surrounds Ghostbusters. By the way, Bill Murray had the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man hat on. I just love that he has that laying around. Like that he had a sailor hat. Like that's just around.
He's a showman. Like he understands. I think he's got a good pulse on like the comedy and like his stream in that. I think he does a very good job of that. He's an odd guy. And I think he could have done so much better with his career in terms of some of the roles he's picked. But
I agree.
It'll be for me. I'm Bob Coon sitting in a 700 square foot rented apartment. And I'm speaking Bill Murray right now. So.
No, you're so right, though. Bill Murray did Stripes, Ghostbusters, Groundhog Day.
And then he like fell off a fucking cliff.
And then he stopped doing movies. And then he started doing like some artsy movies in like the 2000s.
Right.
But I feel like he could have done so much more.
Even some of the artsy movies, like I watch those because I love Bill Murray and I watch those and he does a good job in those.
Yeah, no, he's a great actor.
Yeah, he lifts it up. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe the cocaine crazy. Or whatever.
I will forgive him for his role in I will forgive him for all those weird kind of like boring movie, badly lit movies, indie movies. For his role in Kingpin.
Love it. Such a good flick.
God. Big Ern McCracken is one of the most McCracken. Biggest dickhead ever, but like it's so funny.
Really? A lot of times we gotta face the music, and today that's just him into the car.
He's so good in that.
His
too,
hair is, and he wins. Like he the bad guy wins the
Yeah, he does. Perfect. Yeah, with a stupid huge comb over. And like just bowling as a sport. Oh my God, it's so good. And it has many angles that you can take it from. Like you don't even have
to comb over.
It's just like there's so many great angles for that movie.
He nails it. I do like how he parodies himself in Zombieland, where he has Ghostbusters like queued up on the big screen. And they're like, so what's the worst movie you ever did? He's like, your biggest regret. I don't know, Garfield, I guess. And he just parodied himself. He's just so good.
Yeah. Garfield. Yeah, and he lives in Charleston, South Carolina. He doesn't live.
Really?
Yeah. He lives, he spends most of his time in Charleston. I got buddies there, a couple friends who see him out.
That's cool. That's awesome. That's who you want to run into is Bill Murray.
Bill Murray is a national treasure, and I hope one day that I am in Charleston and I do run into him.
So. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I hear he's a really nice guy in person.
Yeah, you read these stories about him, like showing up at strangers' parties and like doing their dishes for them and hanging out, and he'll take a million pictures with
dishes. I mean, it's Bill Murray. He shows up and like cleans the dish or two, shows it up, and then just like throws it aside.
Bill Murray's right behind you right now. What? Bob, the question that the world has tonight is when is the next American astronaut going to be walking on the moon? Is it going to be Elon Musk that's putting these wheels of history in motion?
It's definitely not going to be 2020.
Nope. No, although I think a lot of us would like to get launched into space right about now.
Oh my God. Get away.
Get out of this mess.
Yeah.
it'll probably be. I think we'll see that in like the next like three or four years.
3 or 4 years, you think?
Yeah.
In that time frame.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, probably the next 3 or 4 years. We have the capability. We have the rockets with SpaceX in order to get us there. They have the thrust and they have the capability to get us there. So we'll
build the rocket.
See.
Watch Dark Side of the Ring at all on
negative.
I'd be curious what you thought about that.
Oh, Jake the Snake?
No, it's yeah, it's like wrestling, you know,
Tales of the Dark Side of the Wrestling.
They do hour episodes each Tuesday. The season just wrapped up. There's two seasons. There's like 10 each. But it's cool because they do WWF or WWE. But they do like other wrestling organizations. But they're all good. The finale was Owen Hart's death.
Yeah.
But they also touched – the other episodes were like Macho Man and like Jimmy Snuka and
– Superfly.
Dino Bravo and like – yeah, it's really cool though.
World's Strongest Man.
Of course.
Dino Bravo.
The Canadian mobster.
Something.
Jesus.
Apparently he got whacked for like cigarette smuggling in Canada. I guess that was like a thing.
He got whacked?
Yeah, he got shot for... And they
but I thought he was in like one of those weird countries.
From steroids?
Like, well, yeah, I know, amazingly. I thought it was like one of those weird countries that like, you know... Everyone's super white with blonde hair and like clear eyes, and like cigarettes are illegal, but everyone gets free food and health care.
Right. Yeah. Cigarettes are the devil.
Get shot for cigarettes.
But this heart transplant won't cost you a diddly damn.
Cigarettes. Yeah. No, death sentence. Sorry. Death.
In public, in front of death everyone. Sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Done.
Saturday morning at noon.
His name's Adolfo Bresciano. He's an Italian Canadian professional wrestler.
I really implore the listeners to check out Bob and John on Twitter. I was looking around last night. I was poking my just the tip around on the internet just to see what was out there. Your guys' Twitter feed is very entertaining. If I didn't know you, I would follow you still, and like I would be interested in what you were.
Yeah,
to say.
I don't spam tweet.
You don't
tweet. I write a lot and then I delete it and I go, forget it. It's just not.
I spam tweet.
But you tweet good. Both of you tweet good stuff. John tweeted Friday the Confederate flag. What was the tweet, John? It was about
I said the statues and the flags are like participation trophies from the people. I think that's all I said.
Hashtag Friday morning. Like, this is what I want to read. This is like, this is good.
Because I didn't want to hashtag it like anything like political because I don't want to. That scooped into that shit, even though now it just seems impossible not to. Everything connects to it now.
I can't do that. I can't get that like into it with Twitter or any kind of social media. So
you want to destroy people.
Be like my father and just you know, find someone to hate and then post all the articles that support my cause.
So your father tweets about the Orange Man in Washington.
He does
a lot. I don't know your father. I don't know his social media handles, but is that what he does? Because that's amazing.
Oh yeah,
he destroys. He destroys, and you know,
nice.
You know, I've known Mr. Coons my whole life, and it's like hearing him say what I believe is really reassuring. That like I'm not, you know, completely insane.
That's what you want to hear.
He's been through everything. Like he's. Been on that side of that world for a long time and like deep dark into it. So I'm pretty sure what he is saying is pretty nice, pretty logical.
Yeah. My dad was in government for a very long time. I think for like over 30 years.
Yeah. And
And rose into pretty high ranks. So
nice.
What he has to say, you know, you certainly don't have to agree with, you know, I don't agree with everything he says, but he has a good platform there, I think, to be able to say that stuff. So.
And it holds weight.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got weight behind him.
See, that's what you want to hear. You want to hear people like your father or even you, Bob, that are in the government or were in the government for a long time that know what they're talking about. speak out against the president, at least in my opinion.
And you want to know something else besides all his accolades and all his, you know, tours of duty? Mr. Coons is fucking hilarious and, like, intelligently funny. Nice. And stupid funny at the same time. And to me, that just shows a more open mind.
Yeah, that's cool.
Someone like that. You know what I mean?
That sounds like an awesome dude.
Well, I appreciate that, John.
He was so scary when I was little. But now that, like, you know, I'm not little, I'm like a guy who could, at least, like,
he's not a big guy.
Say, but, like, I quit.
Yeah, he's not going to be like, it's not like a guy you, like, you want to walk up on. Like, he was a 64-year-old. Like, he's in pretty good shape. He can still probably bench about 350 pounds. You know what? I'm not fighting that.
Whip my ass. Damn. And, like, real fast, like, under 3 seconds. I'd be like, nope, okay. But he's hilarious.
You always like to hear that. That's awesome. You guys were neighbors as kids for a while, right? Didn't you live the same?
Lived 3 houses down from each other.
Oh, you were that close?
Yeah. Yeah, in Oxbow Ridge, Chalfont, Pennsylvania.
One house. There was one house between ours.
Did you guys ever play like Civil War reenactment battles in the woods or anything like that?
Our backyard's backed up into Bill Ganner's.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, the Ganner's.
The old Orioles fan himself.
Right.
Yeah, didn't his son... like he fell out of the car and the car ran his legs over or something and he was in a wheelchair?
I don't know. Wow,
I thought that was like in like 19... I'm going way back.
I think
back
it was maybe
here.
The
I'm
Gardeners?
Like something from like 89 or 90.
And we're really... pinching the target demographic.
Yeah.
Listeners, if you grew up in Chalfont between 1980 and 1992, this is the show for you. Tweet us with hashtag NBI or no, Skyline. Tweet us at NBI.
Skyline. That's the main road going up into our neighborhood, Skyline Drive.
You know,
if you don't like the Ganners and 1989 and 1990, fuck you. Don't listen to the podcast.
Exactly, because that's what we're about.
Yeah,
right. That's what we're doing. We're exclusive.
We are exclusive. Sorry, John, I interrupted you.
No. I agree with everything you've said, and I can't remember what I was saying anyway.
Living next to Bob, 3 doors down, your backyard. Well, back.
It's amazing to see someone who's, you said he was 65, Bob, be on social media and just he is educated. In a unique way on the topic. And his point of view is just spot on for someone like me who's almost 40. It's just refreshing that there's some boomers that have their heads on straight.
That is refreshing.
Yeah. Well, it's yeah. And thank you, John. And he would certainly appreciate that as well. And yeah, it is what it is.
I don't even know if your dad is a boomer. He's so much younger than my dad. He might be like something else.
Yeah, what is the cutoff?
He's not.
I don't know what the hell my dad is, but like he's been like my brother was saying he was over his house like last weekend, like chainsawing a bunch of trees down and then like trimming his hedges and like he's 65 years old. And my brother's like, I'm sitting in here like drinking a beer. My
good
dad
for him.
My house.
Mr. Coons doesn't split wood with an axe. He just picks it up and rips it in half. Captain America.
Is your dad one of those guys like there's like two type of dads when they're past their 60s. They're just like enjoying themselves, doing their thing, or they're always trying to like work on something. You know, like it's you could be at like a shore house and be like, oh, well, the water might get in here in the rain. I'm just going to go outside and like fix this up. It's like, it's not our house. You really don't have to do that. And they always just like want to like fix something.
He's both. He'll fix He's something. Both. He helps. He works a lot of my two brothers' houses. You know, one in Plymouth White Marsh, where he lives, next to the old Beef and Ale, just off of
Beef and Beer.
476 comes into, I think, not 322. Yeah, it's 322, I think. And my other brother lives up in Bethlehem. He's always over there working on their yard. And when he's not working on their yard, he's working on his yard. So we're going to, when he dies, he will be found face down dead in either his front yard or one of my brother's front yard. Hopefully it's not like in a couple weeks.
No, of course not.
Because my brother Mike was like, God, like I want to help him out, but like we've been working for 8 hours and I'm tired. I'm done. and he's 8 hours doing shit.
Probably on like a Saturday too, right?
No, we need to get this done.
I mean, I know that's, I've already like started to experience that, like where the only vacation is when you're like working on something and people leave you alone because you're working on something and you don't have to listen or pay attention to anything else. And people leave you alone and you get some time inside your own brain to remember who you are.
He does all this so he doesn't kill my mother. So that's probably why.
I think that's the whole thing. I mean, that's why we invented golf.
My mother doesn't kill him, too.
That makes sense.
She's tired of his shit.
Right. It's a give and take.
I do that with Jen sometimes. If I need to, like, not before quarantine, but the quarantine, yeah, we're both inside all the time working. So I'll just make up reasons just to go. I'm going to go to the office and check the mail. It's Friday. You did yesterday. Yeah, there might be something in there. Or I'm going to go get some cat food. We have some. It's going to run out. Like, just reasons to, like, get out. Yes. You know, otherwise you're just, like, sitting on top of each other.
Yeah, dude.
And eventually, you know, it's just human nature. You're going to, you know, it doesn't matter, like, what best partner you ever have. Like, it could be the best person in your
freaking life.
You're going to want to kill each other eventually.
Yeah, you just got to get out.
You're going to have to feel that moment. And unfortunately, you know, I used to have a girlfriend named Vanessa. She's in a ditch in North Carolina. You know, I can't speak to that, but...
She's on an episode of Cops.
That's fucking
up vaguely.
Really terrible. Actually, if anybody would die in that relationship, it would be me, and she'd be burying me and having a bunch of her friends help with the lime and, you know, just to...
No one could take down Bob.
240 pounds of all this bullshit.
Nope, they couldn't take it down. Speaking of ditches, all the racial tension and protests in America, we did what we do best. And we went to the root of the problem to solve it. And that was, we canceled the show Cops. Because that's going to teach those racists out there. Let's cancel the show.
Okay. Dude, I swear to you, the day before it was announced that Cops was canceled, I was texting somebody. I actually learned a lot from Cops on how to just shut up and tell the cop what he wants to hear or you're going to get fucked up.
Yeah.
So,
don't be an asshole. Don't be an asshole.
But that's what that show taught me, and now it's not for anyone else to see. Like,
yeah, they're not going to help you.
This is what you don't do. This is a horrible existence. Don't misbehave around the police. I mean, don't misbehave in general, but if you get caught, don't make it even worse.
Sure.
That's the thing, John. I just don't understand why they canceled it. If there were an episode of Cops that came out, and they did something like they did in Minneapolis with George Floyd. Okay, you should probably cancel it. But
yeah.
I don't understand the reason of canceling Cops.
Yeah.
Like, why cancel the show?
It seems a little blind eye.
Well, they did that, and they pulled the...
Okay, well, if they have to go places to get material...
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is where they have to go.
Bill Maher touched on that on Friday. He's like, well, good thing we canceled Cops. That's getting to the root of the problem. Thank you, America. That solves everything now.
I love Bill Maher.
I have a problem
with him in terms of his stance in law enforcement, you know, how he paints with a broad brush. And, you know, that's a perspective that I'm not saying I'm right. You know, I could very well, you know, I certainly probably, you know, am
wrong. No, you're right, Bob.
In certain respects. But, you know, he paints with a broad brush in law enforcement. But typically I love Bill Maher's take on things, and he puts a hilarious take on things and really makes us like exposes our society to where we are, you know, we're ridiculous.
I agree 100%. I've always said I love Bill Maher and I hate Bill Maher. I think some of the stuff he said is so accurate, especially politically, and true. Sure. But then he says these stupid things sometimes, and you're like, he shows his age a lot lately.
He's snide. Yeah. And
he's
kind of a know-it-all a little bit.
But we talked about that in the show before. He made the comments about like Kevin Smith, I think a year ago, and like Superman, and it just sounded like a dated old guy, and it didn't really help his base at all.
Right. Every once in a while, he sounds like an old Jewish guy who doesn't like things that are young and hip and fast.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
For the most part, he's pretty spot on and hilarious.
Yes. Yes, he is, and he just needs to stay in that lane.
Yeah, he just does what he, you know, does best. Right, and that's the political satire.
And he's very good at it.
Oh yeah, he's great. He's very smart. But it works. But yeah, it's funny they canceled Cops.
They're canceling the shit out of everything, and then there's a whole bunch of fake canceled things like
they're
Paw
about to,
Patrol.
Yeah, Paw Patrol with
what is that?
They're about to redo Splash Mountain at Disney World because it's based on the Song of the South.
Okay,
that is my favorite.
Let's just say, unless Pixar does a fucking Brer Fox, you know, movie,
Tar Baby,
fucking knows any of those characters. Like, let's update this shit. Say, make it like Moana.
I think I went to that when I was like 10 the first time. I didn't know anything about any of that. And now it's just like nostalgia, you know, coming out. Yeah. When I go through it. It's like an 11-minute ride, and I'm looking around, and it's fantastic. You know, it's just awesome. You know?
There's nothing racist about the ride. I had to read the article too.
The basis of the story, yes. The basis of the story is racist. Okay, whatever. Let's just let that one stand, and let's call it something else then.
Right. I read the article. I saw the headline. It was like, "Is it time for Disney to redo racist Splash Mountain?" I was like, "I've been on that ride. What is?" I knew it had something to do with the Song of the South. And yes. The movie was a racist movie, and that's why you can't find it anywhere.
What a wonderful
day. But it's a lovely song. The guy was nominated for an Oscar.
The soundtrack the whole time you're going through there.
I love it. It
doesn't offend anybody. And yeah, they probably can update it. A lot of those references are old. But to update it on the basis that somebody's going to get offended by that is ridiculous.
Don't get rid of it. Just update it. Update it. Yeah. And like, you know, let's do our part. You know, let's not wipe out. I don't want to say that's history. I mean, it's a fucking TV show. It was a cartoon, I think, The Song of the South in like the 40s.
It was like a Roger Rabbit. It was like
It was kind of innovative for the time.
Yeah, which is
just
such
wait
a shame.
Until these hipsters find out how racist Walt Disney was. Watch out, Disney.
Yes. Let's not wipe that out. Let's just reform it and make it, you know, to where it's more palatable for, you know, us going forward, you know.
We don't have to cut everything.
So they don't learn that crap. But yeah. Did you guys see the Grant documentary on History Channel?
Yes, thanks to you. I didn't know it was on, and you mentioned that.
And you watched it, Clark? John, you didn't?
No. I don't think so.
I didn't watch the whole thing, Bob. I missed, like, half of it.
I'll tell you, it's three episodes, and the third season, not the third season, but the third episode is absolutely fantastic. And, yeah, the History Channel and TLC and the Discovery Channel, which have gone to, you know, more low-rent programming, you know, American Pickers and, you know, Deadliest Catch. And it's
American.
Hard to watch.
Wait.
American Nose Pickers.
What's American Pickers? Is that about, like, it's mining?
A fat guy and a skinny guy go try to talk old people out of having their belongings. Because they want, like, a 1957 gumball machine.
Wait, this is a real show? Why aren't we on like every network at this point?
We call it American.
No, it's horrible. It's terrible. And it probably costs nothing to produce. But what
American
I was trying to get at.
Pickers?
Yeah,
American. I'll pick him a nose.
We need to be on and call it American Dickers.
They always talk these people out.
I'm writing that down. That's the title of tonight's show, American Dickers. So American Pickers is like salvaging treasures.
Yeah, if these two assholes ever show up at your house, you just punch one of them in the throat and shut the door.
So this is lowbrow programming from what network? History Channel?
Yes, History Channel. And it's like, you know, like Forged in Fire, History Channel. But occasionally, History Channel actually does have a good documentary. Yeah, and the Grant documentary that they did put out, that piece was very good. But, you know, like TLC, Discovery Channel, and this is like my big gripe of all that shit. Like, it's all become these stupid fucking, you know, like we're like watching documentaries on midgets, on little people. I don't think I can say
Oompa Loompas.
Sorry. Fuck. You know,
dwarves.
Midgets. Like little people, tricky fridge, you know. And then at 9 o'clock, Australian boomerang disasters. So, you know, I don't know. Like
kangaroos what, fight back.
I know it's about money. It's about money, but it's no longer the Learning Channel is no longer about learning.
No.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's the cheapest model to produce it. You have like two it's camera like, guys that just film yeah. live stuff, and yeah, then they just throw it out there.
Then you throw you know some sort of hallucinogen into the duct system. You know that's going into the building that you're filming in, and you know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's the last ditch effort grasp onto reality competition shows, you know, cheap.
Yeah.
American Pickers.
Tickers.
I always love the shows with American in it. And it's like American Pickers. It's like, okay, because I don't want to see any of those German pickers around here. At least it's American. I'm going to watch it now.
Nein! Was? I want your Glock!
I'm not leaving, not a Kameraden!
There's a lot of movies with American in the title, and
yes,
I think a lot of them are good.
American Gangster, American Beauty, right. American Sniper.
But like this
American Werewolf.
American Pickers, American like it's Werewolf. Literally two guys who are probably around our age, American maybe a little older, but they go around the country and just like rip people off out of their stuff. And that's what
they just get like an old action
should
figure.
Should be ripping off like... pickers. That's the name of the show. It should be Ripping Off Pickers.
Oh, so they'll get like somebody's old action figure and like, yeah, it's not worth anything and it's worth more than your car.
Yeah. And then he gets in and is like, I'm going to sell this for $500, cocksucker.
American Pickers.
American Pie, American Beauty, American Psycho.
American Psycho is a great movie.
American Dragons, American Flyers, American Gigolo. American Graffiti, American History X.
I am just looking for American History X is another great movie.
That is a great flick.
I am looking forward to the day when they make the movie about the Philadelphia Eagles in Super Bowl 52.
Yes.
And how that conglomerate of people, those men, came together and
yep.
won that.
We've spoken about that before, Bob, when you were on the show before. Talking about the Eagles Super Bowl win. It has all the elements of a film in there. It's the backup quarterback beating the best athlete, arguably, of all time in any sport in the Super Bowl for their first Super Bowl win.
And it's a wholesome backup quarterback. Like, the guy is a...
Yeah.
He's very religious. He's not, like, out, you know, like the day before, like, banging hookers and, you know...
Right, and he has a big dick, too.
And he's got, like, the dirty dick. Yeah, a dirty giant dick. You know, something
massive.
Yo, did you hear he had a son today?
No. Today?
Hey, yeah, and he,
did?
And, he named him Duke.
Big Duke Nuke.
Bob, jeez. Isn't that insane? Did you imagine loving Nick Foles even more now he names it after your dog, his son?
Yeah. Well, I can't. No. I'm getting a jersey now. I'm just
getting a chubby Foles. Now is what you're getting.
And I'm going to get giant Nick Foles jersey, yes. And this desk is lifting up. Actually, it should be lifting up, but my penis is way too small to be able to.
Way too big.
That feet.
Bob's dick is so big, when he sends a dick pic, it comes through in a Dropbox.
No, it comes by drone.
He has to download it in halves.
Untrue. And, totally untrue.
Projected. American Zombie, American Yakuza.
I have a good witness that can tell you otherwise.
Hardly. Drop some. American
Virgin.
Is that a real movie?
Yeah.
American Beauty is another
2009.
Good movie. I like that.
Yeah.
Even though Kevin Spacey's a fucking creep, you know.
Yeah. Right.
You know a movie I watched last night? I haven't seen it in a while. Was There Will Be Blood? Have you guys seen that? Daniel Day Lewis.
Love that movie.
He never tears it up in that, man.
He makes that movie. Without him, that movie is shit.
Look, I know it's long.
Yes, it would be.
So I haven't, you know, I haven't had the moment where I'm like, okay,
yeah,
4 hours, I'm going to sit down, watch this thing.
Yeah, it's a long movie.
Yeah.
It's true, though. If he weren't in that, it would be a really shitty movie.
No,
it's
be
one
terrible.
Of those movies where the yeah. guy carries the whole thing. Without it, you're like, I don't care about oil drilling in the 1910s.
You know, you're looking to the next scene where he's in it. I mean, that's what you're looking for.
And that's why he's in like, every scene of the movie except for two very quick scenes. He's in literally every scene.
The only movie I remember being like that ever for me was Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight. When he was, I was like, the first time you were like, oh my God, keep going. Like, hurry up. Christian Bale, shut up, wrap it up.
Christian Bale, I don't care about you.
I love me.
The Ledger, I want the Joker.
Yes.
Yeah. That's all you wanted to see.
Yeah, that's the same thing. And like, you know, continuing on that theme, the movie theater in my girlfriend's town, they obviously can't go in and watch movies in the theater. You know, inside, I think they have like 4 rooms where they can actually watch movies.
Thanks, China.
So he built a wall outside of one of the sides of his theater, and we're watching outdoor movies now. And I've seen Back to the Future, and this past weekend I saw Jaws on a drive-in movie. Drive-in, you're driving in, you roll up, they give you like a little ticket, and you can order your concessions, and they bring it out to your car. So you
Oh my gosh.
And we have like a load of alcohol in the car. So,
Oh my gosh. Bob, can you give us a good oh my gosh so we can isolate the clip and play it 100 times?
Yes. Stand by. 3, 2, 1. Oh my gosh.
There it is. That's so amazing, though. So how do you order the booze?
You bring the booze. They give you the mixer to cut it with. You just
no
bring
way.
It with you.
This place sounds phenomenal.
And we watched the first Jaws. Like, it was... I love, like, Jaws is my favorite movie. I love every second of that thing. And watching that in a drive-in experience was fantastic. And I know I kind of, like, you know, tried to, like, you know, make my post better than yours, Clark, or something, you know, about that.
No, they're better.
No.
Yeah, yours are better. No. You comment on Jaws quotes about, like, the Jack the Ripper thing verbatim. And I know you're actually typing it. So pants are off to you. Hats off to you.
Jack the Ripper.
It's amazing. I couldn't imagine.
This wasn't a boat propeller. This was a shark.
It's not a coral reef. That's amazing to see that.
It's really cool. Like, you pull in, and we get there. Like, the movie is supposed to start like around 9:15, 9:30. So you can start getting there at 9:30. I mean, at 8:30. And we pull in, and we had been like
pre-game.
Yeah. We were fucking hammered. Like, got in, parked the car, and, you know, they tell you to turn it on. They have a radio station that broadcasts the audio from the movie.
Genius, Lloyd.
So.
Like the old drive-ins.
With car sound systems today, like, can you imagine? Like, this is the best way to see a movie now in your fucking car.
Roll the windows down. Yeah. Roll the windows down. The two people next to us were fucking...
Of course. It's their property.
You roll the windows down, and everybody, it's like stereo. It's like stereo then. And like Quint telling the story about the Indianapolis, how much better.
I have wood.
Yeah.
No, for real. No, I really don't. But I can't imagine
I
seeing
so
Jaws
hard
like in
I
that
thought,
situation.
I thought all of a sudden my mind had your voice in it. Because it was saying what I was thinking at the exact same time.
No, and I love
it. I had a moment thinking about Quint giving that speech, but having the sound of my car, but also being at a drive-in. Drunk,
I couldn't do it. I would faint. I mean, I have never seen Jaws on the big screen. And just to see it in the movie theater would be great. Let alone in the car with your wife or girlfriend.
Well, I sent you both like this, a picture of like the screen, you know. And
yeah, I remember.
It's awesome. It's like truly, it's really cool. And it like harkens back. It like really makes, you know, there's something different about that. And it harkens back to like a different time, you know, maybe like that our parents got to experience. And it's really neat to be able to experience that.
It's amazing. I couldn't imagine. I saw Jurassic Park for the first time at the drive-in with my parents. And to this day, that was still... like an experience to see that because everything's louder. Like you said, there's like the surround sound thing going on and it's right next to your ear, the speakers. And the fact that you saw Back to the Future too. You saw Return of the Jedi?
That was the first like I think movie I ever saw and it was at a drive-in. Because I think like
how?
Dude, up until I was like 6, 7, 8, we always went to the drive-in. We never went to the theater.
Really? What fucking drive-in were you going to, John?
So I don't know, somewhere in Chowanon, I guess, or Hatboro.
Because there used to be two.
I don't think you were alive yet.
There was two. There was one on 611 and 309, like at the same time. And then they died out by the time before we were driving. Because I remember thinking if I had my license, it would be like the coolest thing to take a girl to the drive-in. But they went out of business.
Right. It was like right around we became 16, 17, shut them all down.
Crazy.
But so now they're starting
to Jedi you saw?
Yeah, I remember Jabba the Hutt, like just 1984. Whew.
I couldn't imagine.
It was three, but I remember.
You remember? For sure.
They remember. Oh, Bob, man. The fact that you saw Back to the Future and Jaws in the drive-in in like the same week is incredible.
I feel like I can like just like pass along now. Like if something happens to me, like lightning bolts, or you know, I take a right turn and through an intersection and just a truck just plows me, you know, I'm fine. I have lived a good life, John. Yes.
Why did drive-in stop being a thing? Was it like a money thing? Because I feel like there's such an audience. Like you've never met anyone that's like, I don't care for the drive-in. It's always like, it's amazing. Why don't we do this more?
Well, I think they're coming back. I'm even like told like,
I hope so.
You know, it's such a small town where my girlfriend lives. And I kind of like told her like, you know, they need to keep this going, like fill up the theater when we're good to go after this COVID stuff and keep the drive-in stuff. But unfortunately it does take away from their parking in the parking lot outside of the theater. And it's the only theater in that town. So it's like, I don't know where the drive-in went away. I think it was maybe like the love of the cars back in the 50s and 60s.
We were
in our cars and we could get drive up service, you know, at McDonald's and stuff where they put a tray on the side of your car and you could eat right in your car. You don't have to get out, you know, an earlier version of drive through. And,
yeah, you know, that's cool.
Maybe that, you know, it translated into that, but I'll tell you, watching Jaws on that in that situation was absolutely like fantastic, like, and it was unbelievable.
It was so much fun.
And I've seen that movie a million times.
You're a super fan.
There's something crazy about like being in your car but you're also outside and you're hearing a movie that's playing like way far away from you through, you know, in your car. Like it's just different. It's just new. Like I feel like the theater was kind of like a mall, like the same thing. Like all of a sudden, let's put all the stores under one roof and let's put all the theaters, all the screens under one roof.
Yeah, you can blow $500, you know, just doing whatever you do.
And you can fit way more people in front of a screen than you can cars.
Yeah.
So, and I John always heard that just... there were complaints. It was like, well, the angle isn't good. Sometimes the sound would cut out. But with technology today, dude, somebody can redo this whole drive-in theater and revolutionize it.
You could do it. You could do an app on your phone. You can go to the website and stream it. It's like John mentioned on the last, I think it was the last show, was why are drive-ins like huge now? If you think about it, it's like the safest way to watch a movie outside of your house. You're isolated in your car. It's safe. I'm sure it's easy to.
And this is
shooters, no shooters.
Yeah, and this is
no shooters.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. Well, yes. Well, in Franklin, North Carolina, you're gonna have a lot of firepower in the cars there. So.
True. Everybody's packing.
Is that where this theater was?
Texas Franklin? Too.
Yeah. No, it's in Franklin, North Carolina. It's a small town movie theater, so they can't show. And I think they have four rooms. Like I went with Vanessa to watch Knives Out, which is a fantastic movie. If you guys haven't seen that,
I love it.
What movie?
Ryan Johnson's recovery from The Last Jedi, Knives Out.
Oh, Knives Out. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's excellent. But that was the only movie I've seen there. But so they've taken this thing, and it's a small town. So, like, they live and die by what's happening with the local economy. So they have been able to, you know, improvise and put this movie theater up on the outside and still sell concessions. And they not only sell concessions, you know, during the movie, they sell concessions, you know, the whole weekend. So you can, you know, get movie theater popcorn and, you know, fountain soda and bring it home.
And, oh, that's smart.
So
that's a good system they have in place.
And it's great to see with
this a good system.
It's great system. To see with a small town like that, because the small towns are the ones that are getting killed right now.
Right. Yeah,
that local is local economies.
Dude, Bob, at the Fort Lauderdale Swap Shop right now, Birds of Prey, Bad Boys for Life, Jumanji, and Madagascar are playing at the drive-in.
Yo, yeah? Nice.
It's pretty far, though.
Wait, Madagascar, the original, the 2005 one?
That's away from you, John.
Invisible Man, The Wretch, The Wretched. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's west.
Yeah. Yeah, it's west. It's coming off of 75, coming into, like, back into civilization.
It's like a flea market drive-in theater. Because
they had to find a cheap place to put that place. So,
are the tickets the same price
as
like regular theater tickets for these things?
I've never been to the swap shop that John's talking about. So the theater tickets, like, it's unbelievable to me. The theater tickets, I think for me and Vanessa, it was $25. But if it would have been me and Vanessa and like three other people, it would still be $25. And the concessions are like, we got a giant jumbo sized stupid ass cartoon sized Diet Coke that I poured a shit ton of vodka in, and then we got a stupid sized popcorn for me for my fat ass with a ton of butter on it, and then a medium popcorn for her and like Skittles for me. I still need to, you know, I can't feel my head, by the way.
Jujubes.
It was seriously like $12.
Well, yeah, because there's no roof. That's how the theater pays the fucking bills, by ripping us off with, you know, popcorn and soda, because they get nothing really from the movie.
Yeah, they
all
go to the studio.
All the money on the concession shit. Right.
Yeah, the tickets were $25. They hit you on the tickets, but that's fine because I'm all about supporting them. But it was $12 for all that garbage, and it was garbage.
And dude, usually it's soda. $12.
Yeah, exactly. What a deal.
What a deal.
I feel like I'm at an NFL game, you know, buying a Bush Light.
And this, yeah, I'll take a Bush Light, please. $15.
I'm ripping you off buying this poison juice.
I do like the sizes, too, the proportions where you're like, or the portions when you're like, yeah, I'll take a small. And like, here's your garbage bag filled with popcorn. You're like, I can't eat. All right.
I just want one of them before I even start. Like, all right, I would like a medium popcorn, and him to be like, stop. You're getting the large. Why did you even start with medium? And I always try. I always try.
Always medium, he says,
like,
he
it's says, a quarter, you asshole.
He says, stop, and then backs up a little bit and like just like looks at you.
He judges
and,
you.
And just gets the large tub.
Yeah.
Like, so large.
Is this what you want, big guy? Huh? Right here, big guy? Shakes it for you.
Yeah, hands it back to me. Some of it spills out. I'm like, sorry, I know. I should just.
That's what I get. That's what I get. John, you're skinny. You're skinny.
Coca-Cola. Take a large.
I'm freaking 240 pounds of solid steel sex appeal.
It's like the episode of The Simpsons where they're in Australia and they go to the restaurant and like, oh, let's take a water. It's like, beer? Just a water. Beer? Yeah, okay, I'll do a beer. Beer? Beer?
Game of Thrones, the Hound's like, and is like, you know, Ward gives him like a water canteen and he drinks it and he's like, wine.
Well, wine.
I don't want this water. Wine.
He's one of my favorite characters in Game of Thrones, the Hound.
Sandor Clegane.
So do we want to talk about maybe some sports or some Grant or jerking off or, you know, whatever?
Yes, yes, yes.
Jerking
off. You know, just saying, you know. Guilty. Just going through the hobbies here. Just
throwing the topics up.
Just going through the hobbies.
Throwing our usual topics out there.
Yeah, there we go. Holy shit, I can see that.
I found this. I was cleaning the office. It's a BB-8. Hologram thing.
What is that?
I don't know. It's BB-8, but it's one of those like cells that you look in. It's 3D.
Yeah. No,
it's a toy. It came in like a cereal box.
I can totally see it.
Yeah. It came in a cereal box, I think. Something fruity, no doubt. Some tricks.
Well, you know. I don't know about what kind of cereal you like, but you know, well, I like the Fruit Loops. They're great, very fruity.
Fruit and tasty. Yeah, let's talk about let's switch gears very quick. It is a history hour.
You guys are going to cut the part out where I had to take a dump, right?
Actually, we're isolating everything else out and keeping that because it's a joke.
Just keeping that? Okay.
Of course.
Let's name the show that. I had to take a dump.
Yeah. It's a viable
idea. That'd be perfect.
American Dickers, I had to take a dump.
American Dickers.
It has to be American Dickers. That's the name of the show. Just American Dickers.
I'm leaving those assholes out. Yeah. Hey guys, I gotta take a shit. You know, let's take a 5 minute break.
Do you guys have you guys actually watched American Pickers? Is it good? Like, I I've never heard of it.
No, it's terrible.
No, I could never watch.
I've watched it, and it's
I could never watch.
I would rather jam an ice pick through one of my testicles than watch. Ooh, the show.
Yeah. Hiya.
Hayabusa.
Bob, you know about this John Bolton guy, right? Like, he's obviously got nothing to say in this interview that's coming out on Sunday night.
Oh, he has a huge memoir that he wrote on the Donny Boy.
Oh.
Ah, here we go. Let's light it up, fellas.
Light it up.
Jimmy Kimmel's, like, headlines, like...
Jimmy Kimmel? You talking about Jimmy Kimmel?
Yeah. Like, if you go to, like, his YouTube page, you know, because he's doing the show that way.
Yeah. He's like, totally, yeah.
His headlines that, like, make fun of Trump are so amazing. Descent into Madness, Unstable Genius. And it's a picture of him. Okay, I'm going to answer the question as to why Trump cannot drink from a bottle or a cup of water when he's standing at the podium. Like, have you seen these videos?
Yes. Where he was giving the commencement speech at West Point. Yeah, where he brought the water up and it was like, and he had to put like the hand up under there like an old man, like he was 87 fucking years old.
Why dude, is that?
John,
it's because his fucking fat ass doesn't fit into his suit, and that's as high up as he can bring his arms around his fat tits.
No!
But the sack into his fat back.
Is that what it is? Because that's a weird way to drink water.
So ready, he's bringing it up, but this arm can't move anymore. So he moves this arm over and it pushes and then pushes. This is the president of the free world.
You know what?
So
I
mean? He has to like propel it with
like,
an ancillary force because he's too ill shaped to lift.
You know what I mean?
Is the jacket's getting stuck on the back tit.
He's a big dude. He's 6'3" and probably 350 pounds. But what I would really like is he sent out a tweet.
Why is he always leaning forward?
For those viewers here who don't have video capability, John Hassinger is
standing like Trump.
Yes.
Oh, this is edited for video too. Cool. This is going to be a whole new layout on this show.
Okay. Good. Nice. I like it. I was complaining about that a lot.
Yeah, I've heard. That's why we're doing it. A lot.
Must be stooped.
But I would love to see him, like, miss the first step in, like, walking out of Air Force One and just, like, go down the steps on his ass.
I would like him to go like this, forward.
Well, it'd be better.
It would have been Obama's fault, though, if that happened.
Yeah, it was going to be totally Obama had the slippery steps on Air Force One coming up to the jet ramp. I don't know what happened. You know, these were successful steps before I was here, but now Obama had them. I don't know.
He polluted them up.
He's such a piece of shit. Like, really, like,
he really
let's just be honest. The only reason why you vote for Trump is because you hate the other side. That's it. Because you hate the fucking other side. This guy's
of course.
That's it. And I'm now going to my retirement tomorrow.
Uncle Scam.
And I hope you guys have some great jobs with this podcast.
Write this down.
That pay really well. So I'm gonna be hounding you guys for some really good jobs.
Okay. Did you see he tweeted the one day and it was like, this must be stooped instead of stopped.
Yes.
No. Really?
Dude, he has a mistake, but stoop. Hey, I mean, that's a tough one.
Hey, when you are taking a shit on the toilet, do you really spell check yourself that well?
Yeah, the poop tweet. That's all it is.
Yeah.
I'm just still amazed that the President of the United States acts this way. Forget political party affiliation, whatever. Just the fact that he's on Twitter and the misspellings and grammar, like it's like fifth grade level. I mean, they're like mistakes we made when we were that we would catch ourselves making in like fifth grade. It's just unbelievable to me.
It's like the ultimate let yourself off the hook role model.
100%. Just,
you know, the king of inaccountability.
Because anybody is smarter than him.
Yeah. Anyone smarter than him if they're nice. Because he, like, doesn't understand that and how to be that. The only time he's ever nice is if it's for himself. Hydroxy moron. He's
lusting after his daughter.
You're full of these gems. That's got to be tweeted out.
This is all Jimmy Kimmel. It's all Jimmy Kimmel.
I think it's Comic John.
John, you are fantastic right now.
John is a national treasure. And by the way, check out the Comic John on Twitter and the _ Podcastles artwork of Nerd 35, of the superhero montage. They're like little action figures. Where is that from? That's brilliant. Yeah. I saved that. I used
that
it.
Needs
I
made the name of the show. Put that as the name of the show. What he just said.
Yeah. It's brilliant.
What did he just say?
Hydroxymoron.
Oh. That was just a collection of toys on my counter, and I took the picture and then just, you know, messed around in some app here.
Wait, that was yours? Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I thought you Googled that.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
They're all standing behind me, but I just had them all set up.
Oh, I need to have sex tonight because there's wood.
I only have one Funko doll.
Dude, I thought you like Googled that or something. I didn't know those were yours. That's amazing.
Fonto.
Wow.
Who is that?
Babe Ruth.
Is that Dale?
It's Dale.
Babe Ruth.
That's the Babe Ruth of NASCAR.
My stupid fucking guy.
Do you notice he's handing two tacos?
I gotta get my bobblehead.
I did until you said so.
That's Smart Hulk from Avengers Endgame, Mark Ruffalo.
But my brother got me this for my birthday.
That one's pretty awesome. Yeah. I knew who it was right away. This one's really pretty cool. The Human Torch.
Oh my gosh, that's.
Oh, look at that guy.
My ass after I eat pho.
Who was that last one, John?
And then this one's like my favorite, the Surfer.
Silver Surfer.
That last one was the Human Torch.
Oh.
And then the green ones.
Hey, so
collectibles. Nice.
What do you guys think about police brutality?
I think they need to be trained more. Their job is life and death serious. They should be trained like anybody else whose life and death serious job, like a fucking soldier. Like Navy SEALs, like they're trained over and over. It's like once a week they should have some sort of this training for their entire career, once a week. That's just what I heard Jocko say on Joe Rogan yesterday. Seemed like a smart guy. I think he was a former Navy SEAL.
I couldn't add to that. That's perfect. Yeah, I think they need more training.
What else can we do? Because look, citizens are insane at times, and their job is to rein an insane person in and try not to murder them. I guess training is just like the only way that you're going to be better at that.
Yeah. What I look at it as is, you know, what I do, what my brother does. My brother is a parole officer in North Philly, and he sees a lot of shit.
I can't even imagine.
He is of the same, you know, kind of mindset, John, that you're espousing there. So that's good to hear.
It
needs to be positive, and, you know, we all need training, you know. And my brother is not racist. You know, we didn't grow up like that. So we don't approach situations like that, and he won't. So I'm a desk jockey. So
I'm you're a king, man. You're doing, great things.
I'm worthless in this conversation in terms of interacting with the people. So, and Atlanta is about to really, shit's about to get real here. So,
yeah, man, so, everything that I see where it's like
crazy
calming down for whatever, Corona, or the, you know, the riots and the protesting, it's like Atlanta is still having like outside those issues as well as those issues.
What do you point, look at, John?
It is a very, it's a very,
thank you. Thank you, Matthew. Go on, Robert.
It's a very black town.
Yes.
And it's going to remain that. And it just is what it is. It's going to happen. And
Atlanta.
I hope the news covers it accurately. It's a very African-American town. And we'll see how things go here. You know, with the conviction of not the conviction, the prosecution of the police officer that killed the guy in front of the Wendy's on Tuesday. So we'll see.
Right. Like the guy that ran away with the taser and then they shot him.
Yeah. And I can already tell you, in front of a jury, he's going to get acquitted. And this town's going to burn.
You think he's right. Because he shot a man in the back running away with a taser.
Which you can do.
Oh, can you?
Oh, well, is that like a standard with the taser Brown law?
Police. But still, it was a fucking taser. So we're going to need to, like, there's going to be a lot of shit that's weighed. And it's not just going to be the fact that what he did. It's going to be the fact that what he did and what he's charged with, they're going to downgrade it. With whatever, you know, sentence comes down and
right.
He's going to get acquitted though. And this town's going to fucking burn.
Holy shit.
You're probably right.
I can't think of that. I've been seriously for the last like couple months. And I don't know if it's because of the protests and riots or because of the COVID, just insanity going on right now to get a gun. Cause like, the next time I see someone,
you don't need a gun
or something, a block away from me, then I'm going to be like, okay, well then what's next? My block. And it's too late. Cause I don't got a Glock.
Well, there's two sides to this thing.
And I walk.
There's two sides to this thing. One, if you are not a person who is familiar with firearms, you should not go out and purchase a weapon.
Oh yeah, Bob. I wouldn't do that. I would definitely not do that.
And then second, you know, if you're going to go purchase a firearm for a personal security, you need to be versed in, you know, the not just the safety measures, because you have a daughter, John, and
of course.
You know, you need, you know, that.
Yeah, she goes through all of my shit and it doesn't even matter what it is or where it's locked up. She gets into it. So yeah, like all those things are running through my head. I would probably have to force you to come down here for a weekend and walk me through the basics before I even, you know, send in my application for my psyche eval so I can get approved to buy a gun. And then at the end of the 6-month waiting period, I can really decide if I really want the gun. And that's how it should be.
That's a good point, John. I would do what you did. I tried to buy a firearm the other day. Because I was angry, and they're like, you have to wait 3 days. And I was like, but I'm not going to be angry in 3 days. I'm angry right now. And then,
yeah,
and
but
then
he's home now alone.
And I didn't even want to kill him anymore. And it was like, this is dumb law. Wait a second. Oh. Oh, yeah.
But now I'm not a murderer.
No, John, what you said there is, you know, perfectly correct. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah. I was like, I would have to have Bob do that for me, basically.
Well, no, not that part, but just the part where you understand, you know, that's not the end all be all. We're fine.
No.
You're 6'1", John. You're 185 pounds, 190. you know, depending on what you're drinking, you know, and how the weekend's
sexual
going.
Sexual skill.
Yeah, but I'm either like a little too loose of a large, or I'm a medium that's too tight.
Really, really tough to buy clothes for this guy.
I know. Would he cut out the cake for a week? Damn it.
But you can protect your family without a firearm, so it's fine. And you will do that.
Lightsabers.
True.
I would not break it. If I had a couple houses to break into between our friends, and I'm not going to name names, I would not break into your house.
Good. Yeah. You would definitely leave with something sticking out of your body.
Yeah, that, or I would just leave.
A dildo, a knife, whatever.
The Flash action figure.
A javelin. Yeah, right.
A javelin.
A lightsaber.
Yeah.
Actually,
sticking out of my ass.
Yes. Lit up green.
Well, this is incredible.
I feel the force.
Yes. He's got the force stuff right up his ass.
It's flowing within me. It's flowing through me.
Yeah. It's flowing through him. I don't know about me.
Don't you think too with talking about the police brutality? Every case is different, I know, and there's isolated incidents and it's complicated. But I feel like a lot of situations that this has happened before, police officers, their peers, their colleagues, need to do more in terms of like speaking up. A lot of times they're silent or they don't intervene when they should. Like the Minneapolis situation, there was like three cops around. I get it. It's a hot situation and he's your training officer, but you should like say something. You're being filmed. This is only going to go one way. You're all going to lose your jobs. If I was a police officer and there's no cameras and I saw somebody killing, I would absolutely step in just because that's who I am as a person. I don't want to witness a murder.
Yeah, dude. And I got to tell you, like as far removed as I am from this whole entire situation, you know, like this, I am white privilege, and I've been up in the middle of the night thinking of having someone's knee on my neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, and how like he was probably just trying to squirm, but like just like, dude, that's how serious this is. That's like how fucked up what they did was. It was not like a mistake these two other cops who were supposed to be like basically rookies didn't step in, like, you pussies.
Yeah, why would
I hate that word? But
I can tell you guys, they put us in training situations where, like, one of the officers, we respond to a situation and one of the officers is getting his ass kicked, and then the tide turns and he starts beating the suspect's ass and, like, beating his ass, like, beyond what should be, you know,
allowed.
Yeah. And we're supposed to roll in there and pull him off and, you know, but we have people show up and it's just like, hey, let's buy tickets. Here's the fight. Let's buy tickets.
Step right up.
God.
You know,
crazy.
And what about the chokehold ban?
But it is a learning experience. Like, not everybody's going to hit it out of the park on the right in the first run, you know? You know,
we're all human. We're all flawed.
It's just, and it's nothing to do with their like moral senses. It's, you know, just, you know, they're probably amped up and they're like, I'm going in this training situation and I don't want to fuck it up.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like better policing can, you know, resolve a lot of these situations. If you look at the George Floyd situation, that should have just been an arrest. The handcuffs were on him. That should have been in the story.
Well, as soon as the handcuffs go on George Floyd, he should have been put in the patrol car.
Right. No, it should have been the end of the story. And
there's no reason for any, even, you know, no matter what he was accused of, you know, I don't care about that. You know, I passing a $20 bill, you know, that, fuck that. Okay.
I know it doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with anything.
The guy did not deserve to die that way.
No. And
nobody deserves to die that way. And it's not even a black or white issue there. That is
humanity.
We do not – nobody – if you're a human being, we do not allow that to happen.
No, and we're better than that.
The squad car. Yeah, we are much better.
And, and that's what nobody is really talking about, at least that I haven't heard, is why was he out and about on the street for 8 minutes? I mean, there's three police officers, at least on the video, present. Why is he in a squad car being, you know, taken back? Were they waiting for an ambulance?
Clark,
I don't know.
I couldn't tell you, Clark.
Because that's just shitty policing. Like, you're waiting around for eight minutes while you're being filmed.
And
the fact that you're being filmed and you're doing that is just so...
Hands in pockets.
And I work with former officers who said, as soon as we, like, hook somebody up, we get them in the car. Because we don't want that.
Because they can't do anything.
Don't want the people looking at you. Just get them.
Yeah, why do a show? Why parade that?
Talk to him about the fake $20 bill that he, like, tried to pass. Like, really? Like, it's all about that?
Yeah. Like, talk about a mountain out of a molehill.
Yeah, it's like, say you make a mistake in public, or you're cleaning something up, or you're doing it, and all of a sudden it's done. Are you going to stand around and be like, hey, look what's going on. Look at me. Look at this, you know, potentially embarrassing situation that's happening. But the guy did it for, you know, at least 8 minutes. It's like, why are you just hanging out there?
I think. Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Yeah, never should have happened. But General Grant saved the Union. Yeah.
Yes, he did. General Grant saved the Union.
Like Han Solo saved the Rebel cause.
Yes, exactly.
Returning in the Millennium Falcon and taking out the two TIE fighters.
Have you guys seen the trailer for the video game Star Wars Squadrons?
Yeah, I mean, they've been flashed in front of my eyes. I don't really watch them, though.
It's been delayed.
I'm just like, oh, it has.
Yeah.
Well, it was supposed to come out earlier, but now... I watched it because it looks really interesting. You know, I like video games. I like airplane, like simulator stuff. So you can basically be a TIE fighter or what's the
an X-Wing. X-Wing.
Yeah. But the trailer is they cut way too quickly. So you don't actually see what the gaming situation is like. You just see these, like, you know, action sequences.
It's just like Star Wars.
Yeah, but you don't see, is it like first person? Coming in there with the controls? So I was reading the comments and all these people are just like, what is this? What is what do you do?
Star Wars.
It was very misleading. Yes, but back to Bob's point of General Grant. If you haven't watched the History Channel Grant series, if you're available to watch it, if you have the option, check it out. It's actually very well, very well done.
And
they
cut.
What's that?
Oh, go ahead, Clark.
I was just gonna say they cut to reenactments of that time, but it's very cinematic. Like, they put really good acting and effects into this.
Yeah, it's good. It's almost like a little bit of you have a little bit of cinematic element, and then you have a little bit of the Ken Burns element, where you have like the documentary type style stuff, which is great. And
Ken Burns.
Yeah, Ken Burns.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
So, you know, it's a great documentary. And I really think if you watch it, it really shows that, you know what? America can kick some fucking ass.
Yeah, so, they weren't messing around.
No.
When they put Grant in charge.
And, yeah, we were gonna do whatever it took. And Grant did that. And Grant, I'll have to concede to my father and say Grant was the greatest general in the Civil War against Longstreet. So
really,
Longstreet.
Yeah,
it's very well done. I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, it is very well done, and it does put that cinematic thing in, and also does like the Ken Burns thing where it, you know, shows the pictures of what actually was happening and. You know, content and audio from the historians, you know, where it should be.
Yeah. And I think it was done in such a way where if you didn't particularly care about watching something about Grant and you just happened to come across it, it would still like get your interest because of the way it was done. You're like, oh, this happened. This was done this way. I mean, it's graphic at times.
Yeah.
I mean, for History Channel standards, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Everything I've heard about Grant makes it sound, you know, like he's like just amazing. And I even liked how he had that, you know, he was portrayed in John Adams on, you know, HBO. You know, Paul Giamatti and who played Grant? I can never remember his name, but no, he was a guy from Chernobyl.
He wasn't on HBO. He was born in 18-something.
Oh, I mean, not not John Adams, Lincoln.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Lincoln, you know, Spielberg's Lincoln.
Jesus Christ, John. I was hoping you weren't going for a strike there.
I was getting my history confused. I listened to my president too much.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, Lincoln. It was
you know what?
He's Grant.
He was a great general in the Revolutionary War.
It was a guy from Chernobyl.
Grant did a great job at Chernobyl. And then at Valley Forge, he was fantastic. He was awesome.
Trump?
I love it. You know, Gettysburg in 1772. Fantastic.
Trump.
Battle. All the success. Success all over the board.
Really great. The airports. We secured the airports during the Revolutionary War.
We had 747's landing the next day. So it's good. All right. Yeah,
Trump calling himself a wartime president is like me saying that I'm friends with Dave Bautista because I was in the same studio he was interviewed in.
I was on an aircraft carrier once, so I'm basically part of the 101st Airborne in a way.
Yo, I mean, Will Smith and I are basically related because he's from Pennsylvania.
Well, I should be president of the United States then because I was in the same room as George W. Bush. So. Fuck you guys.
It's just the natural order.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law served in Iraq, so I basically won the war. I mean, you can pat me on the back.
Guys, I gotta hop off.
Yeah, we've been going for a solid 2.5 hours, so
it's my bedtime.
This is a great show. I have something in store for you guys later on tonight. In addition to the dick pics I'm gonna send you. I have a new logo for History Hour.
Ooh, I love it.
And if you don't like it, we can always revisit the drawing board. But
No.
I feel like we need a good logo for the History Hour.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you, Clark. And thank you, John. And thank you both for allowing me to be on here. I appreciate that.
Anytime, was great, man. Getting back on here with you boys.
It's always fun hanging out. Be safe. Thank you for listening. Follow the Podcastle on Twitter at @_Podcastle, John at @TheComicJohn, and Bob. You have an assumed name, Bob. I have to always look at your Twitter.
Bob Stahl on Facebook.
But it's R. Dalton, I believe.
Darren Dalton.
Oh, yes, on Twitter. Yeah. It's Roger Dawson.
Yes. Check him out. Very cool. This has been Nerd 35 History Hour. Thank you for listening, everybody. Stay classy, stay safe, and good night.
See ya.
Godspeed.
Bye.